You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Amy Contrada. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth, and we're in part two of our interview with Amy Contrada, who is the author of Mitt Romney's Deception. In case you haven't been following us, Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization. We're I'm a Christian. We're Christian, but we take support from anybody who resists the idea that homosexual behavior is normal, healthy, all the things that the politically correct media are telling us about homosexuality. We try to get the truth out, and so does Amy Contrada and the person she works with, Matt, at massresistance.org, which would be Brian Kammacher, who's another great American. And Amy, we spent the last episode, we're going to do possibly three interviews with Amy. We're talking about the pro-homosexual, pro-transgender culture of Massachusetts, especially Boston, Massachusetts, which is one of the ground zeros of the radical LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender lobby. And we spent the last, the first part of our interview, talking mainly about how Governor Romney, then Governor Romney, who was governor of Massachusetts from, what were the years again, Amy?
Early 2003 to January 2007.
Yes, and welcome back, by the way. Actually, that's one of those tricks on radio. We just did the first part of the interview. We're pre-recording, folks. We're taping this interview in advance on February 23rd, and the interview will air, this one will be airing on March 10th. But, Amy, we talked about this radical proclamation that can be found in your book, which I encourage everybody to buy. The book is called Mitt Romney's Deception. It's available at amycontrada.com. That's C-O-N-T-R-A-D-A, Amy Contrada.
You can also just go to Amazon, plug in my name, and you'll pull up the print edition.
Yes, and she's also got two e-books.
And the two e-books.
Two e-books. One is called Romney versus Family Values. That's $4.95, as is the next book, How Gay Marriage, and I'm putting the words so-called in. That's not in the title, but of course you share. The word gay and marriage should never be used without putting marriage in quote marks, because it's not really marriage, of course. How Gay Marriage Came to Massachusetts. Amy, that was shocking enough that Governor Romney actually sort of had to be pressured into not celebrating gay youth pride. And, before we get into the gay marriage issue, which is, of course, the thing that he's really going around talking to everybody how strong he was against so-called homosexual marriage, I think one of the problems that we have in this issue is even the question of so-called gay youth has become a point of, oh, we feel sorry for these kids. And of course, we do pity these. Any child who gets caught up in homosexuality, we do feel sorry for them. We have pity for them. But we don't want them to embrace a sinful and wrong and dangerous, often unhealthy lifestyle in the name of compassion. That's not the compassionate thing to do, is it, to a child?
Well, if I may speak from personal experience of kids I've observed at close hand, they're very unhappy living like this, too. Very unhappy.
You're talking about kids who are involved in homosexuality.
They're very confused and very unhappy. So it's beyond the physical health issue. It's, it's not a happy thing, so you don't want it for that reason as well.
And you know of what you speak.
Well,
you've had the experience knowing kids who are trapped in this, and you've also know people who've come out of it, and so this is the idea. But what I'm getting at is nobody knows about what's happened in the gay youth, through the Gay Youth Commission in Boston. Nobody knows the radical behaviors, the cross-dressing adults, even Leathermen, sadomasochists, being around these kids, and how they invariably will be exposed to the radical homosexual lifestyle, culture, agenda, call it what you will. Nobody knows. All they're thinking of is, oh, these poor kids, killing themselves. That's the propaganda.
Again, once again, I will tell everybody that you are a pioneer in a lot of this research, but I keep coming across articles of yours where none others exist documenting some of the craziest things. There's this organization in Boston called Bagley, Boston Alliance of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Youth, and it's a full player in the Governor's Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth when Romney was in office, and currently the current commission.
Now that's headed by a crossdresser,
it's
right?
It's headed by a transsexual crossdresser, whatever. I've not seen underneath the clothing, so I don't know quite how to classify the person, but I've certainly seen him many times in person, and I always get the evil eye in return.
So Grace
Sterling Stowell.
And I'm going to say his. I'm not going to do the politically correct thing and say her.
It's a he. But Grace,
he calls himself Grace Sterling Stowell.
Right.
Okay, now, again, let's just, I know we're in it so deep, people don't get it. You think, okay, most people say, oh, if he wants to make that choice, if he wants to, if that's what makes him feel good, that's okay, that's one thing. But he has a direct and very powerful role in Boston mm-hmm. with children. Mm-hmm. He heads up this group called Bagley, Bay Area Gay and Lesbian.
He gives seminars at high schools, at GLSEN conferences, and you pointed out, you documented that Bagley, which is the group he heads up, he took a group of young people to a National Gay Lesbian Task Force conference called Creating Change, and they were talking about how to get into the sex trade. How does a young person get into sex work?
That was one of the workshops at this Creating Change,
right.
Which is,
and another one of their young people gave a lecture on young and poly, also at the National Gay Lesbian Task Force.
Young and poly would be polyamorous, which means you have multiple sexual partner relationships.
So that's what this group is promoting, and they're a fully funded player in Massachusetts government.
Yeah. And they remain, and so this, begs the question, what's wrong with the parents of Massachusetts that they let this go on? What's wrong with them?
It's the old divide in the country. You know, half of the people are libertines with no moral standards, and the other half, like us, are wondering what's wrong with them. But they, you know, they've probably done all these things themselves as young people.
Or they just don't know. They're just not paying attention.
Some of them don't know what's happening to their kids, but actually, it's surprising how many seem to.
Yeah.
Because we run into them, too.
Okay, now let's turn towards homosexual so-called marriage. This is very, very important because, again, Massachusetts is the epicenter. It's the ground zero for the homosexual so-called marriage issue to such a degree that I think San Francisco got jealous. And that's why they tried to force homosexual so-called marriage in San Francisco because they'd be like, well, we're supposed to be the gay Mecca. And here it is already. I mean, I think that isn't Massachusetts. It was the first state to force so-called homosexual marriage.
Yes, and
they were
very careful not to use the word legalized because it was never legalized.
Okay, now explain, give us the background of what happened on gay marriage. And I want to know, and this is not just this is not about bashing Romney. This is about setting the stage so people can understand what happened, so they can understand the environment that he and other politicians and family advocates were working in this state of Massachusetts.
Well, I will bring his name into it from time to time because that's the focus of my book.
You can't tell the story without it, right?
You can't, because it wouldn't exist except that he had his executive agencies go ahead and force it. But anyhow, first of all, the Supreme Court of Massachusetts in November of 2003 came out with its ruling saying that it was a constitutional right that same-sex couples, you know, should be allowed to marry, blah, 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 and that the legislature, they suggested the legislature should change the law to comport with their ruling, but they knew they couldn't order the legislature. It's very clear in the Massachusetts Constitution, written by John Adams, the separation of powers is very clearly spelled out that only the legislature can make or suspend laws, and the current marriage law still on the books is clear, man, woman, husband, wife.
So they declared so-called gay marriage as a constitutional right.
Yes, even though it's clear that they just made it up.
And then what part, there was actually, in the decision, didn't it say that it's still the legislature has to act?
Well, they didn't say have to act. They said we would, you know, suggest. I don't have the exact wording in front of me. I'm sorry. They suggested that they change the law to comply with the ruling, but it wasn't an order. They couldn't order them, and they knew they couldn't. And another ruling from the court has made it very clear that they understand they can't order another branch. So at any rate, the legislature never acted. There was a lot of, you know, wishy-washy dithering for months, and they talked about, oh, let's do a statute that, you know, allows same-sex couples. They never did. Then they said, well, we'll do an amendment, and then they came up with some crazy things that just sort of went nowhere. So the legislature never acted. Also in the Constitution, it's very clearly spelled out that the court has no authority over marriage, only the legislature and governor do, unless they give authority to the court directly, which, of course, they hadn't in this area. So the legislature didn't act, except in March of 2004, they came up with this absurd so-called compromise amendment that, oh, we're going to amend the Constitution to say that marriage is a husband and a wife, but that civil unions are going to be created with exactly the same legal rights and status, exactly the same, except with a different name. And they were going to put that in the Constitution. So everybody thought this was meant to fail. Both sides said this is a ridiculous amendment. It's meant to fail.
Because it was basically same-sex marriage without calling it same-sex marriage.
Yeah, but anyhow, so it eventually did fail in September of 2005, but that's getting ahead of where we are. So at any rate, nothing was happening. Romney was advised by many well-respected pro-family attorneys and commentators, people like Phyllis Schlafly, Hugh Hewitt, Pat Buchanan, Hadley Arks, you know, a whole bunch of them, all in my book, to defy this absurd court ruling.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there, Amy, to the break. We're talking to Amy Contrada, author of Mitt Romney's Deception. You can get her book at amycontrada.com. You can listen to part one of this interview at americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I should remind you that you can support Americans for Truth at americansfortruth.org. Hit the donate button. You can support Mass Resistance, where Amy Contrada is a writer, at massresistance.org. That's a tremendous organization. And Amy, so the Supreme Court comes out with a decision in November 2003. There's a lot of non-action. Then the legislature comes up with this weaselish
compromise amendment.
Compromise civil unions thing, which goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. Now, is this the point where Mass Resistance and other pro-family groups come up with a good constitutional amendment?
Well, it's actually much more complicated.
Okay.
No,
do it the best you can.
I might have to back up a bit.
Okay.
As I mentioned, all of these respected conservative commentators and attorneys told Romney, just defy the order. It's an absurd order. It's unconstitutional. And why did he not just defy the order? Well, there's always the courage issue. He didn't want to have a constitutional confrontation, though it was clearly an act of over-the-top judicial activism, which he later states, years later. But at the time, you know, he's saying, well, it's the law, and I have to follow it. Now,
okay, this is the part where Hadley Arks, who's a respected constitutional professor, he called... Didn't he call Romney the missing governor?
Yeah, absentee AWOL during this whole thing. He essentially sat back. We never heard from him. We didn't know what was going on. Everybody's grasping at little straws released in the Boston Globe of what he might be thinking and doing. And we're all going absolutely bonkers in Massachusetts.
Because there's because there's a period between when the court ruled and
six months when the
same-sex so-called marriages, which aren't marriages at all, and they're still not marriages, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Not at least before God and before truth. Now he's got this time, and everybody's sort of sitting back waiting, essentially waiting for leadership is
right.
What your book makes clear.
Exactly, and that's what Hadley Arks, Professor Arks, makes clear in his National Review article. By the way, all those articles and commentaries that I mentioned, if you go to massresistance.org/Romney and you go to the gay marriage section in the Romney report, I've got all those linked so you can just immediately go to the articles where they say these things. So everybody's saying, okay, the conservatives, the true conservatives are saying, issue an executive order, make it absolutely clear that nothing's going to change, that the law is the law, and it says man, woman, marriage, and it's going to stand. And the court has no authority to do this. Well, he never did. The other thing that was going on, we had a grassroots movement to say, look, the real solution here is not a constitutional amendment, but to remove the judges. And constitutionally, you know, Adams put that in the Constitution. That's what to do in a case like this, where the judges are, you know, acting out of control. But he wouldn't pick up on that. He said he wouldn't support that movement, but never gave a reason. And no one ever pressed him in the media. Why not? Or why are you not going to do an executive order?
Yeah, and now Hadley Arks here, and cited in your book on page 410,
mm-hmm.
he cites the, quote, fecklessness of the political class in Massachusetts, which showed at every turn either a want of conviction or a want of nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on, he says, the deeper failure must go to the man who stood as governor, holding the levers of the executive.
Right.
And if it is countdown for marriage in Massachusetts, it is a countdown also for Mitt Romney, whose political demise may be measured along the scale of moves he could have taken and the record of his receding step by step until he finally talked himself into doing nothing or nothing much.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say Romney preserved a decorous silence in public.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Yeah, we were going nuts not hearing anything. Absolutely, total lack of leadership. But it goes deeper. When Hadley Arks wrote that, May 17th, 2004, it was published in National Review, that was before any of us knew what was really going on in the background, which is exposed in my book. In fact, I didn't know some of this until 2010 when some of the background was made public. But in 2002, Mitt Romney had promised, again, the Log Cabin Republicans, the homosexual activist group, that he would not oppose the expected ruling from the court for gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2002.
Now that is accepted fact. That's based on a report of the New York Times.
It's reported in the New York Times interviews with some unnamed members of the Log Cabin Republican Club. But it certainly makes sense, and everything else we can see, it fits into a profile. And then here's the killer that we found out in 2010. We knew that something wasn't right in the governor's office.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor himself and his chief legal counsel, whose name is Daniel Winslow, kept referring to the court opinion as law. They kept saying, it's the law, we're going to follow the law. Whatever happens, we're going to follow the law. And on May 17th, we expect all the citizens to do the same. You know, and we're going, oh my gosh, how can he call this law? Well, Dan Winslow, the legal counsel to the governor, who basically put in place all of the training sessions for the town clerks and the JPs and threatened people with firing and lawsuits if they didn't comply with gay marriage. He was thanked by the homosexual transgender lobby in 2010 when he ran for state rep. And they publicly, openly thanked him for his support of the gay marriage court ruling.
Mm.
So
now he was the... And he was the
Romney's chief legal counsel in his executive office.
Wow.
And he's the guy that came up with the Party A, Party B designation.
Okay, now explain that. That's what, when
instead
Romney, explain that whole, how Romney issued the Party A, Party B. Because
okay,
that is a little bit out there. People know about that.
Under the Department of Public Health, that's who issues the forms for marriage and, you know, public records on these things.
The marriage licenses.
Marriage licenses and marriage certificates. So both of those were changed, instead of bride and groom, to read Party A and Party B. And Dan Winslow very proudly takes credit for that in his little exchange on the Know Thy Neighbor blog, which is where this was reported, that the gay lobby thanked him. And he also drew up the
training. I hope you saved that.
Oh, yeah. I saved the webpage, and it's in my book. All of this is in my book. It's in the ebook. And it's still on. These people are so proud of what they've done. It's still on the Internet. KnowThyNeighbor.org. Look up Dan Winslow endorsement, and you'll get it right away. And down at the bottom of the article about his meeting with these people, he says, oh, thank you so much. I really love this endorsement. I'm so glad. And nobody in the administration was worried about the Party A, Party B designation idea. It was only people outside of the administration that we talked to that were worried about it. So, in other words, Romney didn't have a problem with Party A, Party B. So this all was going on in the background. So Romney had made his promise to the homosexual log cabin Republicans. He had a pro-homosexual marriage guy as his chief legal counsel, and they were just going to go ahead and do this no matter what. And that's why they were so quiet. Behind the scenes, when Romney claimed, oh, here's the solution, an amendment. That's the solution. The earliest it could take place would be many, many years later that it could take effect, rather. So Romney's stringing everybody along, saying that I'm sure an amendment will pass and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, he's implementing gay marriage through his executive departments, town clerks, justices of the peace, Department of Public Health.
What was the thinking? What was this? It must have been a terrible day when it was learned that the party A and party. Now, that was the day when it was the marriage, the court decision was that 6 months later when it became legal. That's when he issued the party A, party B.
I'm trying to remember if that's in the instructions he gives to the town clerks.
Here's the biggest irony of all, Amy. Had Romney done something bold to stop the first ever implementation of these counterfeit homosexual so-called marriages, he would probably be president today.
Well, not only, yeah.
There would be such a rush of support to this man.
It's the bigger issue of judicial activism.
Yes.
Now, he's gone on to complain about judicial activism. In 2005, he gave a speech before the Conservative Federalist Society legal group saying, oh, this judicial activism in Massachusetts was just horrible. Well, the whole point of the Constitution is that the governor's supposed to act as a check on judicial activism or, you know, either...
You're talking the Massachusetts Constitution or
both.
Yeah.
But it's Massachusetts Constitution was written by John Adams and basically served as a model for the federal Constitution. So the balance of powers ideas is very clear and divides first there.
So once again, we're seeing this trend of, and I haven't gotten to your amendment. I want to do that after the break probably. But we're seeing this trend of not much action, timidity while in office. But then while running for office, the bold speeches about judicial activism, about I stood against same-sex marriage.
But guess what? In 2002, when he ran for office of governor, he would not support the one strong marriage amendment that was proposed.
Okay, now talk about that's the one that you guys had a role, Brian Kamiker.
I didn't, but yeah, Brian was very involved, along with a man named Ed Pollack, who had founded Lawyers Weekly.
Ed Pollack, good guy. He's now deceased. This is a marriage amendment which would cover civil unions, and so it would ban
civil unions, and marriage was strictly a man and a woman, and no phony marriages such as civil unions would be allowed.
And Romney did not back the governor.
That was too extreme. He was upset to find out that his wife, son, and one of his daughter-in-law had signed the proposal, you know, the citizens' referendum to get it on the ballot. He said it was too extreme. They hadn't read the fine print, and he could not support it.
But yet his wife had signed it, and who else?
One of his sons and a daughter-in-law.
Now, what happened to that? Did you not get enough signatures to get that on the ballot?
No. Here's another Romney failure. It did have way more than it needed. It went into the legislature. Once the citizens signed it and it got the adequate number, then the legislature had to approve it with, you know, two consecutive votes. But the president of the Senate blocked a vote on it unconstitutionally. And Ed Pollack, who was behind the amendment, went to the Mass Supreme Court and they said, yes, you're right. The legislature is constitutionally required to vote on it, but then nothing happened. That ruling from the Supreme Court came just before Romney took office as governor. So he, as governor, could have said, okay, this amendment is still alive, guys, you got to vote on it. But he wouldn't, because he thought it was too extreme.
So he thought that the first main viable amendment protecting marriage between a man and a woman was too extreme because it also covered civil unions, civil unions are pretty much gay marriage just by another name.
And he's always supported domestic partnerships.
Okay, I want to say milk toast here, but...
Yep.
Okay, we're talking to Amy Contrada, who is the author of Mitt Romney's Deception. You can get it at amycontrada.com. That's Amy Contrada, CONTRADA.com. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking to Amy Contrada, who is the author of Mitt Romney's Deception, His Stealth Promotion of Gay Rights and Gay Marriage in Massachusetts. It's available at AmyContrada.com. Amy is a brilliant researcher. She's gathered a ton of information. She's also got two ebooks. One is called Romney versus Family Values. Another is called How Gay Marriage Came to Massachusetts. They're all available. You can either plug her name in at Amazon.com. That's Amy Contrada, C-O-N-T-R-A-D-A. Or you can go to her website. But folks, listen, you got to buy this book. If you consider yourself at all interested or involved in trying to stop the normalization of homosexuality in our culture, you need to have this as a resource because it's got tons of even the printed book, Amy's got lots of photos of, of just like, there's one photo I found here of a boy marching in one of these gay youth pride parades. And, it's just like, he's wearing a see-through top. He looks like a male prostitute. The kid can't be more than 16 years old.
He's got eye makeup. It makes you want to cry every time I look at that picture, really. It's so sad.
And it's just these poor, confused kids. You know, they think they've got the answers. They don't know squat. They're embracing radical identities. You've got these extremists, these lifestyle extremists like Grace Sterling Stowell, who's a man who's thinks he wants to be a woman. Kids should not be being influenced and going to, aren't there these things called the gay proms? Don't they have a prom every year?
Youth Pride ends with the gay prom, and Grace presides over that event.
You know, how did America come to the point where parents allow their teenage kids to go hang out with transgenders, with radical communist gender benders, with gender queers, all these people basically modeling deviance? How did we get to the point where that happened? And where are the politicians? I mean, is this just what happens when Democrats take over? It's worse in Massachusetts than almost anywhere in the world, although California is trying hard to catch up. Yeah. I think Massachusetts is probably one of the worst areas in the world for this.
And you may wonder why I'm still living here.
Yes. Why are you still living there, Amy?
It's a long story.
Well, you're fighting back, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's what my brother said. You know, he said, I think some of you guys actually like being on the front lines. I said, maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Well, you know, you feel like there is more to do there. We have a situation similar here in Chicago. You know, there's a very radical homosexual movement here in Chicago. And in one of the events, it's the same thing everywhere. There was a gay prom type of thing in Chicago. I think it was for Latino kids. And guess what, Amy? One of the sponsors was Steamworks, which is a bathhouse.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, come on.
Terrible.
And so, again, one of the biggest reasons to stand against this homosexual youth agenda is the adults, homosexual activists, supervise it. And so, of course, the radical, extreme, unhealthy adult sexual culture seeps to the kids. I mean, they're basically modeling it, they're swimming in it, and they're bringing the kids into it. And that's why you see kids deciding that they're transgender when they're 13 or they're lesbian when they're 12. They are being radicalized by adults who are pushing this radical agenda on kids. Now, let's get back to marriage.
Well, you just made me think about one of the main reasons that people really have to oppose gay marriage, whatever part of the country they're in. What happened here in Massachusetts with the David Parker case, which we talked about on your first show, that was the parents' rights case here in Massachusetts that went to federal court. The rulings from the federal court said that, well, gay marriage is legal. That means we have to teach this stuff in the school. And when they say they have to teach it in the school, that means that they have to have the gay clubs and all these other things that bring the kids directly to these events and force this mingling. So anyhow.
So legalizing homosexual so-called marriage becomes another, not just another rationale for promoting homosexuality to young people. It becomes mandatory.
Right.
Because, hey, it's all equal, right?
Exactly.
And that's the big let's pretend game. And thank you, radical attorneys, mm-hmm. for foisting on a tremendous game of let's pretend. You know, the phrase marriage equality. Hey, it's not equal. Two men cannot produce a child, number one, without the assistance of heterosexuality. Two lesbians cannot produce a child. They have to use expensive artificial means, or they have to adopt. It's so elementary to demonstrate that homosexual so-called marriage is not equal to the real thing. And yet now, thanks to our leftists, radical attorneys, and enablers, and I would say the enablers are the people who know it's wrong, but they allow it to be pushed forward. And I'm putting, you know, whether it's Christians, like so-called Christians like Peggy Campolo, who are trying to give a Christian veneer to this radical homosexual agenda, or it's just conservatives like so-called like Margaret Hoover. She's a big libertarian on the Fox network. You've seen her. Margaret Hoover promotes homosexual so-called marriage in the name of conservatism. Thanks, Margaret. Way to go. You're really helping out these young people, because mm-hmm. under that name of gay marriage, it provides a respectable veneer to promote this entire agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it, Amy. You've been there. There's nothing conservative about what's going on with these kids.
No, it's awful. Before we go any farther, though, on the gay marriage thing, I just wanted to tell people on my website there's some summary articles, because, you know, it gets pretty complicated if we start talking about the amendment process, but I've got a couple of articles that would help make it very clear. A very brief one is called Romney's Other Flip-Flop, Follow the Court or the Constitution. That was actually printed in the Whistleblower magazine in January.
Okay, and so you've really got to go to the Mass Resistance website.
This is the Amy Contrada website.
Well, you got to go to Amy Contrada, and you also do a blog for Mass Resistance.
The blog sort of came to a close as I was doing my book and starting all this other research. So that was sort of documenting stuff up until basically 2010.
Really, really quickly before we forget to, Amy, we've got to just give me 30 seconds. How did, didn't your blog get blocked by the lefties on the internet?
It's got objectionable content.
But is that still there, or is
it's still there?
And who is it? Is it eBlogger?
So it's Google. It's a Google blog. It's massresistance.net is my blog, and that's where we first used the Mass Resistance name, was on my blog. And the homosexual activists, you know, piled on and said this is objectionable content. So then Google complies and calls it, you know. You have to click to say, yes, I want to proceed.
So Google puts a warning in front of your blog.
It's a very dangerous blog.
And this exists to this day.
Yes.
So these homosexual activists basically start piling on and they file complaints. This is happening to Americans for Truth, by the way, folks. Go to our blog, our Facebook, Americans for Truth Facebook page. It's happened to our YouTube page. So, mm-hmm. you know, the lefties, I mean, the homosexuals, those guys are so dedicated.
Well,
this is what they do.
They have a lot of time on their hands, too. For the most part, they don't have families and whatever, so they spend their extra time doing this stuff.
And even as they deny that they are censors, they just love to block out opposing points of view, which mm-hmm. tells me that they don't have a lot of confidence in their own point of view.
That too, yes.
I mean, if you have to put that warning, if you have to harass, if you just can't answer Amy Contrada's blog, you feel the need to report it and try to get it shut down, then you do not have the confidence in your viewpoint that you should. Now, okay, Amy, let's get back to the Romney, marriage thing.
One last thing, also on my website, just because it's so complicated with the amendments, Romney's been saying that he did all he could to, you know, preserve traditional marriage, and he fought hard for an amendment. Well, if you want the truth, an article on my website called Mitt Romney's CPAC speech, his claims versus the truth. There's some nutshell summaries there that might help people if they really want to.
Yeah, and another disclaimer: this is not about attacking Romney. What we are doing is we're trying to lay the accurate framework for what actually transpired in Massachusetts, because it is the most important thing on the homosexual issue. One of them. I mean, there are a few: Lawrence v. Texas, Romer, Colorado, but the Massachusetts same-sex marriage lawsuit decision that came down in 2003. Now, 2003, right? Do I have that right?
Yep, November.
Okay. Now you're back. You've got this namby-pamby civil unions thing that happened after...
the Compromise Amendment, which was formulated in 2004 when Romney was in office.
Okay, and when the deadline came for the marriages, Romney issues this Partner A, Partner B, which at the time you didn't know that his legal counsel had been, you know, had helped do. Later on, it's revealed that the legal counsel is congratulated by the homosexual activists because of his role in issuing Partner A, Partner B marriage licenses.
And supporting the ruling, yeah. The whole general support of the ruling, meaning telling the town clerks and the justices of the peace and the Department of Public Health that they had to proceed with this.
Wow.
This cannot be done without the legislature having changed the law.
Right. And so it just happened. Romney missed his chance to lead. He sort of sits back, does nothing. Everybody's wondering. Hadley Arc calls him the missing governor. And so the guy who this constitutional legal scholar calls, is that accurate for Hadley
yes.
Arcs?
Yes.
He calls him the missing governor. This same man is now claiming that he did all he could to stop gay marriage. It's sort of like, you know, that just seems deceptive.
That's why I call it Mitt Romney's Deception, my book. I do believe it was deceptive. I do believe that his whole amendment process, you know, his pointing all of the concerned citizens to the amendment process was diversionary. I think he figured, okay, we'll just tell them that that's the solution. I think everybody knew at that point that it was not going to be the solution because, as you say, Massachusetts always was the focus of a lot of this activism. But once that ruling came down and people were trying to pass an amendment, all across the country, homosexual activists were activated to, you know, send money, send help, and whatever to block these amendments in any way they could, and that's what happened.
Yeah,
and beginning with Tim Gill, the millionaire philanthropist, so-called, who funds homosexual activism in legislatures throughout America, he sent tons of money in the election.
Okay, so basically, Romney doesn't back the strong marriage amendment, which you guys backed. He doesn't back that, and so then a weaker one is put forward, and we're going to talk after the break here about what happened to that. We're talking to Amy Contrada, who's with, she writes for Mass Resistance. She's also a blogger. Her blog is amycontrada.com. You can hear part one of this interview at americansfortruth.org. Just hit the After Radio Hour icon at the right side. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, folks. We're talking to Amy Contrada, and I believe we're going to have a part three of this interview. But she is the author of a book called Mitt Romney's Deception, and it's about his how he acquiesced and at times promoted the homosexual activist agenda, including to young people. Amy, quickly to the amendments. Now, we're talking about the same-sex so-called marriage. Romney doesn't back the stronger one, which would have blocked civil unions, because he said it was too extreme. So he's long standing. This is an accurate statement, I believe. Romney, as a prominent Republican politician, is a long standing supporter of gay rights.
Mm-hmm. Since 1994, when he ran against Ted Kennedy for Senate, he promised he'd be a stronger advocate for gay rights than Kennedy would. And he's never backed down from that. In fact, in the recent Republican debates, he said that he's for gay rights. Well, I don't see it anywhere in the old Republican Party platforms. Maybe they'll have to rewrite.
Why is he so pro-homosexual?
I try to figure that out. I think I honestly don't know, except I think it had a lot to do with the fact that he hung out in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Harvard University for so long. By the way, I've worked at Harvard for many years in various capacities. You know, my husband was a student, undergrad, grad student there. I mean, I know the place well, and it's very hard not to feel the pressure of the progressive so-called attitudes there. Maybe that has an awful lot to do with it. Just living in Boston, you know, mm-hmm. and whatever. I think that pulled him to the left on these issues, but I really don't know. That's just speculation
yeah.
on my part.
Let's try to finish up here.
Speculate.
There's a weaker constitutional amendment after the marriage is so-called are already mm-hmm. taking place. The homosexual activists all flew in and made a big deal mm-hmm. of it in Boston. There's this weaker amendment Now, what happened with that
first,
one?
Yeah, it was first drafted in March of 2004. And not to get too deeply into the weeds, however, it's important. Mitt Romney twisted the arms of the Republican legislators in order to make it pass. Now, this was the amendment that would have written civil unions into the Constitution as a right alongside marriages, man-woman marriages, with exactly the same legal definition, just a different name.
Now, wait a minute. So his idea of being against so-called gay marriage is to push an amendment which would call it something else, put that into the Constitution, call it civil unions, and just – so basically he was against calling it marriage.
Yes, it's just the word difference. Now, he – another thing documented in the New York Times story and, you know, a few other places like the Bay Windows homosexual newspaper, he also promised the log cabin Republicans that he would support domestic partnerships. Now, how did he define domestic partnerships? Never quite defined. Okay, it's very vague, always vague, and whether it's equivalent to civil unions, what are civil unions, who knows? He never really defined it carefully. So, basically, he supported civil unions equivalent to marriage and made some, you know, sort of mushy promises to these guys that he'd support them. So that probably is what he was doing in this amendment. The other thing he said he was doing was getting something out there that was in the works so that the Supreme Court would have to give extra time before their ruling became law. Okay, he was saying, if we have this amendment in the works and it requires some more votes, then the court will grant a stay of their ruling so that the marriages won't take effect in May 2004. Well, that was totally bogus. I mean, what are the chances that an irrational court that's acting unconstitutionally is going to listen to that argument? Of course, they didn't. They shot it down immediately. But that was his public reason that he stated for supporting this very flawed compromise amendment.
Now, and that was introduced before the actual so-called marriages took effect.
Yes, it was introduced in March. It passed first in the legislature in March of 2004. The marriages started in May of 2004. But the homosexual activist members of the legislature actually credit Romney with its passage. They said if he hadn't done this, it wouldn't have passed. So he's got to take responsibility for this compromise amendment having any life, which it did for another year and a half or so.
And is that the one that was voted down by both houses?
Yes. Yes, it was voted down by both houses in September of 2005. At that point,
what did it need to pass to get on the ballot?
Well, that was originated in the legislature, so it did need a 50%.
Okay.
So
they couldn't get,
people only need 25.
Okay, so he couldn't get, okay, so was there another one? I'm getting confused here.
I know you are. It's a horrible subject.
So wait a minute. The one that originated in the legislature did not pass, obviously.
Right.
It did not get the 50%.
Not the second vote that it needed. Okay.
Okay. And then there was another amendment.
By that time, when it was voted down, by that time, the second amendment had appeared on the scene.
Okay.
The next one. Now, the next one was cooked up by the Mass Family Institute.
This is a weaker marriage amendment.
Weak amendment, which says marriage is a man and a woman, and the gay marriages that already exist will stand, okay? And it didn't outlaw civil unions. It was a crazy amendment. Because then if it had ever passed in the end, and it didn't, it was voted down shortly after Romney left office, if it had succeeded, we would have had two supposed categories of marriage, you know.
Well, that's what we have in California, I believe.
I mean, there would have been endless legal challenges.
The most pathetic thing I remember about that one. That the weaker amendment, which was, you said it was pushed by Mass Family Institute, which is am I going to call it moderate? I guess I am.
Yes, moderate
branch of Focus on the Family. They don't do anywhere near the good work that Mass Resistance does
in
the homosexual issue.
Well, they're not out on the street. You know, they don't go to the parades and take pictures. They're scared to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they don't document the lifestyle, and they don't cover the gay youth thing like you guys do. But anyways, they came up with this sort of namby-pamby amendment, which was much weaker. But here's the pathetic thing. It only needed a quarter. It needed to go through with a quarter of the votes.
Yeah, once the citizen petition had gotten enough signatures, which it's got, you know, it got way more than it needed, fine, then it had to have two consecutive votes in the legislature of 25% or more.
And it couldn't get that.
Not the second time around. And that's because, you know, I mean, it was by that point, everybody was being bought off in the legislature by the, you know, the wealthy homosexual flooding in from around the country.
Yeah, so help me understand, because you would think, wow, not even a 25% of the legislature could vote to put marriage on the ballot. What happened in Massachusetts? Is it that they worked it and they worked it and they did all this and they stopped it? And it just goes to show you that playing the moderate card, playing the weak card, is no guarantee you're even going to succeed.
The longer it strung out, the stronger the homosexual lobby became, and that was obvious. Now, here's the thing.
Two minutes, Amy.
Romney promised in June 2005, when this weaker amendment was announced, the second weak amendment, he said that he was putting his full support behind that, and he was sure it would pass, absolutely sure it would pass. And what we observed, mass resistance did not support it, but we were there for all the events. It was just heartbreaking to see all these sincere pro-family citizens out there, you know, doing everything they could, waving their signs, going to every single session at the state house, and just, you know, what a waste of energy, time, and money. It was just awful.
But did Romney? We got a minute left. Did Romney use his political clout, whatever he had, to push it?
Nothing until November of 2006, a month and a half before he left office. He held this unbelievable rally on the state house steps with this enormous patent-sized flag behind him, and saying, "Oh, we got to get the legislature to vote on this. It's all about democracy. Let the people vote."
Now, wait a minute. Is this after the votes had failed?
That was when they failed to take their first vote on it. They were, trying to get out of even voting on it. So he made a big show of how he was going to force them to take a vote. Well, Ed Pollack, way back in 2002, had already had the court state that the legislature was required to vote in a situation like this. So even though he filed something with the court, that was unnecessary. It was just a big show. And sure enough, he used the photographs all over his blogs, promoting his candidacy later. But yeah, it was a failure to lead up until then.
Well,
basically just sat by and let it happen.
And we'll pick it up next time. We're talking to Amy Contrada, and we're talking about the gay marriage situation in Massachusetts and what Mitt Romney did or did not do to stop it. We'll talk to you next time, part three. God bless.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.